appreciate the opportunity to be here. As Jack said, I'm the program director of the Quality Beef by the Numbers. Just so you'll know, I'm a commercial cow-calf man. I rented my first farm when I was 13. That's what I've done my entire life up till a year and a half ago when my wife told me I finally had my first real job when they hired me to do this. So we in our operation have emphasized artificial insemination for the last 40 years. We've had total performance records for the last 40 years. We've been doing carcass evaluation for the last 25 years. Our target's always been a high-end, high-quality product. So as you have a little base where we come from, we are a grass operation. Cattle have to work in that situation. So that's where I'm coming from a personal standpoint, because I'm going to give some of the data that we've done on our operation and why we're trying to do that as a whole in the Quality Beef by the Numbers program. And I think the title kind of says it, Quality Beef by the Numbers, and my tagline is putting it all together. We have so many things today available to us that we didn't have 10 years ago. We have, first of all, the premise and the foundation of Quality Beef is that quality pays, which it does, that we as producers need to realize the genetics we put in our cattle determine the end product that we put on someone's plate, and that every animal we produce in this country at some time is going to end up on somebody's plate unless it dies on your ranch. So we've got to be cognizant of that fact. The fact that we have reproductive abilities today, reproductive management abilities today that we didn't have 10 and 15 years ago that we can implement into our herds, and that we have through a grid marketing system the ability to analyze those cattle on an individual basis and find the cattle that are really working for us in our operations. That's the foundation of our Quality Beef program. And it came out of the Show Me Select Heifer program. We've been very proud of that in Missouri. It's been going on for over 15 years. We have had close to 120,000 heifers go through this program. It's a pre-breeding where we do track scores, pelvic measurements, and weights, and start out with the heifers in a correct way. They have to meet certain criteria all along the way, at which point they have to be bred to bulls that meet certain EPD profiles, and we try to make and it's a blemish-free if they end up selling. Only about a quarter of the heifers that go through that program actually sold. A few years ago, we said, okay, we've been doing a lot of fixed-time AI in these same herds. Let's make another situation where we can quantify the genetics of those cattle by creating a Tier 2. Tier 2 heifers have to be sired by highly proven AI bulls, and then they have the option of being bred AI or bred to natural sires. So the reason I put that in there, if you look at the bottom, in the bottom right-hand corner, the heifers in our Show Me Select heifer program that are AI sired by highly proven bulls that are bred back to highly proven AI bulls are averaging $329 a head of the other heifers. It says to us that people know, and those are going to almost all repeat buyers. They've gone home, they've realized the genetics makes the difference. There's a lot of difference in the profitability of those cattle. And so that's where we've gone. So we said, step back and said, okay, we've created these cattle, but we let the steers just kind of disappear. And when we think about the compounding of 120,000 heifers over 15 years and the calves out of those heifers and the calves out of the heifers out of the heifers, we've made a tremendous impact on the genetics of the herd in the state of Missouri and surrounding states. So how we started the QB program, so how can we help people capitalize on the genetics that they've created? Because we've created value. I've liked hearing that and really enjoyed the programs I've heard. How can we create more value with the same resources? And that's what we're talking about with Quality Beef. So, first of all, then that premise is, are you going to target your genetics for an end product? Again, it all ends up on somebody's plate. I drive by a few of these herds. They're obviously targeted so that when you go down the road, you want to look over and say, what the heck is that? You know, are you going to target you? We know now, you know, let's throw away the fact that what we thought for 100 years, we can put a calf in the feedlot, and regardless of what it is, we feed it long enough, it's going to end up good. If we feed it long enough, it'll be prime or high choice. We know that's not true anymore. We know we can feed some animals till we can't fit them through those double doors, and they still won't grade prime. We know they have to have the genetics to be able to produce that quality product first and foremost. So what are you going to target your genetics for? Ours is obviously quality beef, because there's a lot of dollars there to be realized when we target that quality. Secondly, fixed-time AI. What an incredible tool. How many of you have used some fixed-time AI? A bunch of you. We've tried everything imaginable over 40 years from riding. You know, I used to ride a horse every day for 60 days, twice a day, gathering cattle. You can sit down today, schedule a day, time, and date that you can breed all your cows and get 55, 65, 75% of them bred to the best bulls in the world. What an incredible technology. If you're not using it, you need to be using it. If you're only using it on your heifers, you need to be using it on your cows, because it gives you access to highly proven bulls that have, the day you put that semen in, you already know what your results are going to be. There's no risk there. And if you start looking at the price of bulls today, it's more economical than running bulls from a standpoint, because you can access those genetics. And what I think is more incredible on that aspect of that is 40 years ago, I was paying $15 a straw for the semen I wanted. Today, I'm paying $15 and $20 a straw for the semen I want today, and it is way better than what I paid back then. There's been virtually no inflation in the cost of that, but the genetic quality has increased incredibly. So one of the things, I was at a meeting the other day that really hit me hard, at an economics meeting, that we ought to take to heart in the beef industry, and why we're focusing on the quality aspect of this, is this year, pork consumption is going to overtake beef consumption in the United States. We are going to be the third protein on people's plates because of cost. You know, how many of you guys, now women don't really do all the grocery shopping in your family? There's enough women in here to keep you honest, obviously nobody. How many of you get into this store? You know, we sit there, we're going to have to compete on price. So if we're going to compete on price, we can't compete on price. Let me back up. We've got to make our product as good as it can be, so when that consumer says, yes, it's higher, it's better, I want it, I want to eat it, because we are not going to be able to compete on price with the other products. And as corn gets cheaper, they can turn on the faucet a lot faster than we can. So we've got to go back and say, how can I create more value in our herds from a genetic standpoint, a management standpoint, so that when that consumer purchases my product, he and she think it's worth that value. So I ask you, do you know what you're producing? Do you know what your end product is like? Do you know what it looks like in the store? If you probably haven't gotten some carcass data, maybe you really don't know what it is. You know the one you eat at home and you like it, but do you know what it tastes like to your consumer? And that comes down to this, and this is some data from my own herd, is for all these years, we've basically been selecting our genetics on what they look like. Yes, you have some performance records. Yes, you have some weights. Yes, you have EPDs and purebred cattle. But you and your own herd are still saying, hey, which animals do I like the most? Which animals are out of the cows I like the most? And we're looking at them. But I'm going to pose that question to you, because I posed it to myself. After 40 years of records, I really didn't ask that question to myself. So can you tell which cow's the most profitable? I like Donnie Scheffelbein the other day saying, let's generate more revenue. So I'm saying, let's generate more revenue with what we're already doing by finding out the cattle that are making us the most profit. And that only comes by tracing them from conception all the way through. So I had a pen of cattle we fed last year, and I said, okay, what's the difference in these cattle? And I picked the steer, the animal in the pen that brought the most money, and the animal that brought the least money. And then there was the cow that produced the top weaning calf on a regular basis. If you're selling calves off the cow, that's very important. But did she actually create the most value for me as someone who keeps ownership? So I put this together as tale of three calves. We fall calf, we're 100% fall calf. We just finished AI-ing our cows the week before Thanksgiving. So we start calving in late August. So these three calves were all in the same pen. They're all in the same pasture. You can see the birth dates on those cattle. Very, very close together. Not a lot of spread there. cows were in the same field. Calves were all out there together. Weaning weights on those calves, 572, 654, 574. When we pulled them off the cows, kept them back around in a while before we sent them to the feedlot, 642, 760, 692, pretty close. Put a value on those. When they went to the feed yard, when we finished them, they weighed 1,555, 1,547, 1,100 pounds. Feed yard gain, 5.07, 3.94, 2.27. You can read that. A tremendous difference. That one calf did not get sick. When I go back and look at my data, I find out that cow's calves do that on a regular basis. So I need to by identifying that animal because there's a huge difference in that performance data. So when I put a carcass weight data on that, 997, 990, 705, prime, CAB, CAB, they all graded pretty well. We're happy with the grade. Yield grade 4.3, 3.2, 3.1, and I don't know if any of you have all marketed on a grid. If you don't exceed plant average on yield grade 4s, there is no dock. So we don't get a lot real concerned about that from that standpoint because we are not exceeding the plant average, so we're not getting docked for those yield 4s. Put a value on that difference. Those killed at a really nice price. That one animal bought $2,316 plus $1,992, and the other one brought $1,503. Now, if you'd have told me 5 years ago I'd have complained about a fat animal that brought $1,500, I'd have thought you were absolutely crazy. But that was the bottom price steer. But what I want to hit home to you today, because our program's about records, it's about keeping that data. Those cows are the same size. They're in the same pasture, in the same management. The calves were weaned the same day. They went on the same truck to the same feedlot, and they were harvested on the same day. And there is $813 difference from top to bottom of those cattle. And I've been breeding for years to make them uniform. Now that says to me, I have to, as a producer, find those cattle on both ends. Those ones that aren't doing it. And those ones that are, because there is so much money to be made in there. And look at that difference. Those two calves, X294 and X285, there's only 7 pounds difference in their carcasses. But there's $323 difference in their sale value because of that prime grade. And the prime grade wasn't as high there as it is today. It's $25 today. So our consumers are telling us we want a quality product. I love Chad with Gaucho Ranches. I loved when he said, we have people lining up to sit down and pay $70 for a steak. That should make all of us feel good. We've got to produce a product that those people want because they're willing to pay for it. So when you look at the overall profitability of that, that one animal made me $633 net profit. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a herd of those, I would be very, very happy. I mean, that is, in our industry, a lot of money. So I need to find those, and I'm not going to find those if I don't start looking for those cows that'll do that. So net profit of that pen was $164.35. What I'm saying is we can create more value with our same resources by tracing these cattle, using high-quality genetics, and putting them through the feed yard and using the technologies we have today right now and not spend a dime more doing it. We don't have to spend any more to do this. And that dollar's there. So for you young people out there, I think it's a tremendous opportunity because today we can move faster in this industry than we ever have been able to before with our technology, but it's still slow. So you've got to get in and start doing and following those things. So I sit back there after all these years of records and all this looking at my cattle and never saying which is my most profitable cow. And I know every one of you, when you go out into your herd to look at your cows, you go find one or two cows because you really like to look at them. Those are the ones you want to see. You got your favorite cows you like to look at. Whether you want to admit it or not, you like to see those. You're proud of them. You like to see them. That was not my favorite cow. I never paid any attention to that cow till I sat down on a piece of paper and found out that she's my most profitable cow in my herd. She makes me more money every year. Now when I go out in the field, I go look for S300 and see how she's doing, because she's become my favorite cow. Why is she my favorite cow? Because she's five generations of AI. She has a 369-day calving interval, 105 weighing ratio. She's had three steers or four steers in the feed yard right now. They've all been prime. Her heifer has a gene max score of 94.5 and 5, and she's made me an average of profit of $366 every year I fed a calf out of her, regardless of the bull I've bred her to. All those calves have been sired by different bulls. So I know it's that cow. So do I need to make more of those? Absolutely. Would I have ever found her if I didn't keep records? Nope. I'd have just sold her calf or hauled her calf off, and I'd have never known the value that she can create to me because of her genetics, the value out there that's available to us through those genetics. So I went back, and you look at, figure a lifetime on that cow. Just figure a lifetime on that cow, and be conservative on those estimates. She has the potential to generate me $2,750 more in her lifetime than the average cow in my herd. Isn't that worth finding? Isn't that something we as people ought to be looking at? Because they're in the same management system as all the other cows, but there's that much value difference to be had out there. Multiple generations. We've been at this a long time. We've been stacking. I started kind of breeding for high carcass in the early 80s, and we've been stacking those generations using balanced bulls, balanced DPD bulls, not extremes, but I'll take a balanced DPD bull any day with as much marbling as I can get, as long as I don't give up the functionality of that animal. And the beauty of that is those bulls are available to us in several breeds and readily from every AI company. We can find those bulls and we can use them. So in this last set of cattle we fed, and these were the tail end steers and the heifers we didn't keep for replacements in a mixed pen. When we look at the fact that one generation of very positive cattle, I keep cows around a long time, we ran 14% prime on them, 57% high choice, 28% low, middle choice, and no low choice. Again, on the two generations, you can read across their 72 on three, and then on four. And in that set of cattle, we didn't even have any low choice cattle, and the four generation cattle were 83% prime. Now, we have the ability to do that. I am no better a cattleman than anybody in this room. We've been working at it longer. And today you have the ability to do that much more quickly than we ever have in the past. It's there. Use those technologies. Use those abilities to do that, the opportunities to find and capture that value. So what makes you money in the feed yard? This year was ugly, as ugly gets. I mean, we were losing $200, most people in the feed yard. This is our cattle in the feed yard this year. Everything that gained over 4 pounds made money. Absolutely. We need them to gain and grow. They need to do that. Everything that gained at prime made $170 plus profit. Everything that gained 4 pounds a day in graded prime made $273 a head. That's my target. That's my target. And I'm going to hit it. And I'm going to work at that. Why don't we do that? Let's find cattle that can do all things with an average pen profit of $35.30 in a time when we were usually realizing a $200 loss in this last year. So are there cattle that are out there can do it? Yes, you all probably have a lot of them. It's a matter of going within your herd and finding the ones that are actually really excelling to do that. And this is a graph that, and I put this out there because for the guy who says, okay, I don't want to ever feed my cattle, I'm just going to sell them off the ranch, and a lot of people have kind of talked about this. This is a Cattle Facts and USDA. In 2005, 50-something percent of the cattle in the feed yard were still being sold on a negotiated live price. So show list, we're going to go down, we're going to negotiate a price. Today, that's 26%. That means 74% of the cattle are sold on some kind of grid, some kind of prearranged price. And if you're a cow-calf man who's just selling his cattle, and a lot of people have said this today, this last few days, is you're going to have to give them more information than they had a round of shots. Because if they're going to mark close to 75% of them on some kind of prearranged price, they want to know what their value is going to be in the beef. They're going to want to know what their odds of getting a premium on those cattle are, because That is what we're doing today. That's not captive supply. That is just what we're doing from a standpoint of guys saying, I'm paying you $1,200 a head. I want to know what they're going to be worth in the end. Secondly, I think that puts a lot of emphasis on you to know that. And the other thing about this, you know, when we talk about, you know, all this information has come from retained ownership. And that's a lot of our program. We want to follow these cattle from conception to carcass, using all the technologies available to us today. I don't know how many people have told me my cattle always top the market. I don't know that I've ran into a cattleman or rancher who says his calves don't top the market. So there's either a whole lot of markets or we're kind of deluding ourselves. I have yet to run into a cattleman who said mine sell in the middle of the road and I don't know what to do. Secondly, I don't know how many people have said, you know, I got the same guy that buys my cattle every year. My first question is, does he write you a thank you note? He's obviously doing it for a reason, because they do well for him. Do you get information back from them? Some of you do, but most of the time you get they did pretty well, you know. But they're not going to share that with you because they've taken the risk, and they're going to come back to you and buy those cattle. And they're not doing it because, have you ever heard a feed yard guy say, our buyers come to your house and say, you know, I just like to put your cattle in the pen because I love to go to the feed yard and look over the fence. They look so good, and I just love losing money. No, they don't. They're planning on making money on your cattle, which is what our business is all about. So when we start looking at the fact that we can create genetics in our same management system with no more output costs, and gain a lot more value, I think that's something you've got to look at real hard and really start thinking, how can I implement that into my situation? Now I put that, Wagyu, because I know some of you are out there thinking, well, just selecting for marbling, you know, obviously that's a one-trait selection. I used this bull on a few cows just to see, and he dropped my weaning weight on those calves, 27 points on the cows I used him on. They marbled wonderfully. We ate them ourselves, and I have two teenage daughters, and when I put that steak on the plate, they don't talk until it's done. So you know it's good. But can we raise them efficiently? Not in our situation. They have to demand a much, much higher price. So we have to have cattle that will work in our pasture systems, produce a calf every year, do it efficiently, and create an extremely high-quality product. And I know a lot of you are thinking, well, maybe you feed all these cattle. If I was a cow, I wouldn't want to live on my place. You know, I've been a lot of other places where they get taken care of. Our cattle work on grass. And I say that because I've had conversations with guys say, well, you know, we've got it rough here and there. I'm saying select within your population. Identify the cattle in your population that are working in your environment. Identify those, and if you have a breed other than Angus, find the cattle within your breed to hit these target markets, because there's money to be made doing that, and the cattle are out there to do it with. So we don't have to go one trait. I'm one of those, we can have it all. And if you tell me we can't, we will respectfully disagree, because we can have it all. I'm a firm believer in that, and I'm not going to give up till we can have it all and put all that together in our operations. So by saying that, and I'm going to go back to the production side of this, and I put this cow up there because, you know, if we're going to do that, do you need to turn your cows over? An expensive proposition, putting calves back into your herd, putting replacement heifers back into your herd is expensive. So when you have an efficient cow, can you color just for carcass problems? Probably not. That's my cow. She's nursing her 15th calf. She had her 16th calf this fall. You know, she has this record in our herd. She has occasional select. The feed yard guy calls me and teases me about having a select. I don't like to have a select because there's no carcass reward for that animal. But I'm not going to replace that cow until she tells me she's done, because she's making me money by having a good performance calf every year. But when I do, I'm going to have to do something different, because we as an industry, by and large, make our improvement through a bull unless you're willing to purchase females better than the cows you have. We make our progress through the bulls that we use. But the big but in there is we really make it when we select our heifers. We make it when we select our replacement heifers. And if you're looking at them over the fence and picking out the ones you like because of the way they look, you may be doing a good job, you may not. The simple reality, there was a time in this industry when cattle weren't big enough. We don't have to worry about cattle being big enough anymore. We need to worry about value we create in an end product and doing that efficiently on our ranch. So when you select your heifers, do you have the information you need to replace that old cow with an animal that can do what I want, and that's to do it all? Do you have that information you need to be able to do that? And I submit if you have carcass data and some DNA tests and records on your cows, yes, you do. If you don't, then we're still going to slowly make progress with good bull selection, but we're going to make much quicker and faster progress when we have the information we need to make those selections in our females. That's these heifers are calving right now, or have calved. We've already bred them back there 2 weeks ago. There were 70 heifers in that bunch. If everybody in this room went out there and looked at them, we'd probably select them a little differently. We'd probably get some of the same ones to the top and same ones to the bottom. But would we be able to look and see which ones are going to give me the end product? Now, I stuck those two heifers in front there. Why? Because they're both five generations AI. Their mothers and grandmothers have always had prime calves, and their gene max scores were 99.5 and 5 at the top of the heap. Now, what are the probabilities of those females doing what I want them to do? They become very high. When I make that selection, that's a pretty easy choice. I can select that female over maybe one that's a little bit bigger, maybe a little prettier. First, certainly they need to be structurally correct to be able to stay in our operation. But I know the odds of those turning out well are pretty good, are pretty high. So when I have that data, we can do those things and make a lot more progress a lot more quickly. It's not scary keeping records. I'm amazed when I talk to producer groups when guys' eyes glass over and go, oh, please don't make me write information down. It just, they don't want to have to do it. Or they say, I'm going to let my son do it. My daughters love posing for that, but it's not scary. It's not hard. And when you start putting a dollar figure to your time behind a computer and a desk writing that down, it's the most return you're going to get on anything you do by selecting cattle that can generate you more income from a genetic standpoint. It's fun. I tell people I look forward to my carcass data more than Christmas, and that's true. They laugh at me, but I've been working at this my whole life. It validates what I've either done or tells me I've done the wrong thing. I mean, that's much better than a present because I'm going, okay, I did good. Okay, I messed up on that. I need to do something different. But it validates my everyday choices and my everyday operations by having those records. So it's very important that you, as we go forth, our resources aren't going to get any cheaper. We're going to continually deal with reallocations of land use. We are in a competitive market for land in this country, against government policy, against a whole lot of other things. So we got to make more from the resources we have. And we're not going to compete in the world with commodity, low-priced beef. Our place in the world market is high-quality beef. And the rest of the world's not standing still just saying, hey, we're going to leave this market to you. They're coming after us. They want that too. So we have to do a better job to stay in front. So I think Dr. Patterson, who I work with, makes this statement, and I think it's really true, and the relevant really part of that is we have on-the-shelf technologies. I've had the privilege of going to the reproductive conferences. Dr. Whittier and a number of the university people, reproductive specialists, have been there, and what I'm always amazed is the volume of research that's gone in to give us these technologies, and they work. Anybody can take them out there and use them. From a fixed time AI standpoint, the only people that it really hasn't worked for is usually the guy that said, well, you know, I'm going to change it just a little bit. You know, the technologies are there. Do what they say. Have a managed program so it works. and we can continue to build a higher and higher value herd. So take those off-the-shelf technologies. Don't let them scare you. Get out there and be able to do that. And don't back up from it, because I think there's a lot of end reward from that. With that, our quality beef program right now, we're working with three AI companies, Certified Angus Beef, Ursic and Dahl, and Pratt Feed Yards in Kansas, where we get data back. We're sending cattle out there. We're keeping data on cow herds. If people don't have enough cattle, that question was early. We're working toward a point where we can put smaller groups together and get out there and get that data back to you on an individual basis, back to you on an individual cow, back to producers, back on an individual profitable basis on your cows. Because as you can see, there's money to be made on those cows. There's improvements to be made, and I think you can generate a whole lot more money with the same resources. With that, I'd say I've really enjoyed the conference, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I don't know if you've got time for questions. I'd be glad to tackle them.